Welcome back to the show, coast to coast, border to border, around the world on American Forces. As you just heard from that iHeart commercial, 450,000 artists. I am one of them. My Pan Flute album is on there. You might want to check it out. All right, it's my pleasure to welcome to the show Bob Venero. He is the founder and CEO of Future Tech Enterprises. It's a global IT solutions provider and helping out with the esports gaming community, which, as we know, is getting much stronger, growing in the college ranks as well. But Bob, welcome to the show. I understand that you also deal K through 12 as well. Is that right?
Correct. Yeah, we span the full gamut of education. Thank you for having us.
Sure. So when I look at the colleges, and now we're getting close to 200 colleges having a varsity esports program and millions in dollars of scholarships, to me that's the ultimate thing of, like a dad saying, get in the backyard and throw the football around, and a kid's playing League of Legends and he's like, I can't, I'm working on my scholarship. I love that.
Yeah, that used to be me with my kid. And now it's completely the opposite. I'm stay in your room and focus on winning that game.
So what do you do on a daily level with all this, Bob?
It's an interesting dynamic, around the college and universities and scholarships and sponsorships and all the things that are really tying to the esports phenomenon, that's out there. And I think they're predicting the number of viewers by 2023 is going to be like 650 million viewers, which is just an amazing number. From our perspective, what we're trying to do is work with colleges and universities to help them develop and build a proper esports program and initiative to attract the talent. In today's crazy time that we're all in, these things are more important than ever, right? Because, when you look at esports, it's the ultimate in virtual, right? A lot of the colleges and universities are struggling right now with, the whole pandemic, that their investment in esports is really starting to pay off. And we don't see it going anywhere anytime soon. Like you said, a lot of the major universities, right, there's major dollars going to this. And unfortunately or fortunately, depending on what side of the fence you're on, the viewership is better than traditional sports programs that are out there at those universities and colleges for some of them, which is a hard thing for some places to swallow. But they're learning, right? They have to adapt and change to the new world of the kids that are up and coming through the ranks.
I think too that there's always going to be a little bit of backlash from not just the older generation, but our generation as well, as some parents might think that the kids are playing whack-a-mole when a true competitive video game, you talk about the hand-eye coordination, the cognitive ability, the decision-making, the tactics that go into it. You're really honing a very serious mind here and an adaptive, flexible mind. And as you're mentioning with the pandemic, this is why we've really seen a boon, because you can't go out on the football field for a lot of these programs, but you definitely can keep the esports rolling.
Absolutely, 100%. And you're right on the money, right? This is not a, mind-numbing world, right? It's a mind-sharpening world, a lot of the esports that are out there, which is amazing. And we will look at the future jobs that are going to be coming, right? A lot of them aren't, those face-to-face jobs, right? They're going to be, virtually done. They're going to be phone, jobs that are going to be done, and coordination and skill that they're building now in these programs are going to make them more marketable out there for corporations. We deal with a lot of Fortune 500 accounts as well, and they're building practices to go after kids that have esports capabilities and knowledge because they believe that they're the future workforce, right, that is going to be used in the market and use the technology to, coordinate, to multitask, to do a lot of the things that these kids growing up and in the colleges and universities are going to be laser-focused on and do really well. And I see that. I have a freshman in college, and I have a senior in college. And it's amazing the 4-year difference, right, between it. The freshman in college, he can multitask, take a test, read an article, play a game, and watch a video, by the way, at 2x speed, all at the same time, and process it all, right? And the, you know, the senior is a little bit less than that, right? They don't have that 4-year change in the colleges and the universities just made such a big difference. It's amazing. It's amazing to watch.
Yeah, I remember when I was in college in the 80s, they said if you majored in computer science, in CS, that by the time you graduated, everything you learned was obsolete. Is that still kind of the case?
I don't think so, right, because it's more adaptive now. Mm-hmm. And the skills that they're building, right, are not specific to a technology or a program or a process, right? When we were in the 80s, right, because I'm with you there, and when we did those things, it was around this programming language, that programming language, this way to do Word, Excel, PowerPoint, right? It was very specific. Here now, it's really broad use of multitask, right? Validation of concept and ideas and things to that effect that really are going to give them a better platform base moving into the workforce, so they're not going to be obsolete. They're going to be, you know, you look at the modern warfighter, right? That's the ultimate in gaming at this point, right? It's definitely a skill that's not going to be wasted.
So when I think about the Olympics, Paris 2024, where are we with all that?
Yeah, that's a lot of questions and a lot of controversy out there with all of that. You know, I'm a betting guy, my belief is that there will be 2024, with everything going on right now, it may be even more likely yet to be seen. But there's just still a lot of the old school mentality, right, that's saying it's not a sport. But when you really sit back and look at inclusion, it's a much better inclusive sport for anybody of any, you know, athletic capability, anybody's skill and knowledge and intelligence. It's opened up to anybody who wants to be engaged and be a part of that can be, which is obviously, as we all know, much more limited, right, when it is a physical sport.
And just one more question for you, because you're kind of at the forefront of all this stuff, and I think about, you know, VR and AR, the way that that's been going. But the one thing that still fascinates me, and I have a pretty good understanding of how everything works except for the 3D printers. I don't know how these boxes work and how something could print anything that would be beyond what was just on the outside of it. Where are we with 3D printers and right now, Bob?
Well, it depends on if you take the commercial line or the personal line, right? 3D printing has really come along. You know, Hewlett-Packard has made some incredible gains on speed and print. It depends on the type of printer, you know, for production. You know, there's an HP high-end printer that's $500,000, but it can print 20 different parts at one time. It can print metal now, they're doing. And, you know, you've got some of these printers that are going to be able to print skin, right? So there's a lot that's going. Anything that can be thought about and put into a machine can now be printed, right? And in complex parts. So that's a whole, you know, another world that's out there. But, you know, the one piece that, you know, we didn't touch on is there's a big component tied to esports that's mobile gaming, right? And the mobile esports. And that's growing tremendously. Like, China has a huge push on that. We're second, and then Europe is third. As these devices get more and more powerful and the screens get better, right, a lot of these players are now not being tied to a desk or to a specific machine. They could be outside playing. They could be, you know, in the car or on the train or wherever the case may be. So mobile gaming is going to be an interesting scenario as we see the development of esports in the university space, which is also going to change the way that you look at your investment dollars, right? If I can do a mobile lab versus a, you know, full-blown, you know, high-cost lab, that's going to save the university, you know, millions of dollars potentially.
There he is, Bob Venero, founder and CEO of Future Tech Enterprises. Bob, thanks for coming on, man, and let's catch up soon.
Sounds good. Appreciate it. You guys be safe.
All right, I'm Rick Tittle. We'll take a quick break. Open lines on the other side at 1-800-878-PLAY.